takes a moment to load. And while it's loading, let me thank you for coming at this very early hour this morning. And I have to say that my topic is not exactly breakfast fare. And it actually, I have discovered, is very taboo. People don't want to talk about it. But somehow anal intercourse is okay when you're talking about men, but when you put women into the mix, I get so much flack and, oh, don't discuss that, and, ooh, that's gross. But this is something that's going on that we need to be aware of and understand so we can help the young people that we work with. And I have no disclosures. So my question is, are women dying of our embarrassment because of the taboo nature of this topic? As everybody here knows, I'm sure, HIV is increasingly prevalent among female adolescents and young minority women. And heterosexual contact is by far and away, as I'm sure you know, their primary risk factor. But the question is, how do we define heterosexual contact? And it's not well defined in the data. And I imagine that most people think of vaginal intercourse when they think about heterosexual contact. However, receptive anal intercourse is a relatively common behavior among young women, and also, and it's not my population, but older women as well. This is something that people engage in, and as you all know, it is the highest risk sexual behavior. However, we know very little about the prevalence and context of heterosexual anal intercourse, particularly among adolescents and young adults. So, and I realize right now I forgot to acknowledge my collaborators who are Deborah Tolman and Fabienne Snowden, both from Hunter College, from the School of Social Work. So the three of us conducted a mixed method study, and we recruited 53 Black and Latina young women, age range of 14 to 22, at an urban public college in New York City and also at an adolescent clinic in the inner city in New York. And what we found was that, we took a history of sexual activity. They had to be sexually active to be in the study, okay? And 66% were already using a hormonal method of pregnancy. That wasn't an inclusion criteria, but we asked about it, of pregnancy prevention. They completed a questionnaire, a detailed questionnaire about their sexual behaviors, and we included in that in the questionnaire the sexual relationship power scale, which had been developed by Julie Pulowitz, and that has a good deal of validity and reliability data that you can find. It's published. We administered the questionnaire via audio computer assisted self-interview, that is via the computer. Young women could read the questions or they could listen to them on headphones if they preferred. And there's a growing body of literature about ECASI that suggests that it tremendously improves disclosure of sensitive information. So that's pretty much the only way I collect quantitative data anymore. What we found was that 20% of these women, everybody had been, quote, devirginized. They'd all lost their vaginal virginity, and 20% had engaged in HAI, heterosexual anal intercourse, recently. 93%, when asked on a questionnaire, is anal intercourse a risk factor for HIV, 93% said yes. 100% said yes for vaginal intercourse. Yet almost two-thirds of those who said that they'd had anal intercourse reported never using condoms during anal intercourse. Condom use is much better for vaginal than for anal intercourse, and that's true across studies. All the respondents, as I said, associated vaginal intercourse with HIV. Now, looking at the subgroup who'd had anal intercourse, 8% reported always using condoms for anal intercourse, whereas 58% said they never do. Of these same girls who've had anal intercourse, 17% report always using condoms for vaginal intercourse, and 25% never do. So you can see that they're much more concerned about using condoms for vaginal than anal intercourse, even though most of these girls are on hormonal contraception. Now let's look at the other subgroup, the girls who've never had anal intercourse. 25% report always using condoms, whereas only 6.5% say they never do. That's compared to 58% of the girls who've had anal intercourse. And the qualitative data, as you'll see, may explain why that's happening. Now, when we looked at the results of the sexual relationship power scale, we looked at the two subscales, decision-making dominance and relationship control. relationship control is such things as I, my partner tells me what we're going to do, or he tells me what to wear. And the relationship control scores were significantly and inversely correlated with a history of anal sex, so that if a girl had high control in the relationship, she was unlikely or less likely to have had anal intercourse. But it wasn't at all related to condom use for vaginal intercourse. Conversely, there was no correlation between decision-making dominance and having HAI, and that's things such as I make the decision about whether we use a condom. Excuse me, but significant correlation between decision-making dominance and using condoms for vaginal intercourse. So what we did was we took the girls who reported a history of having had anal sex or refusing anal sex, and it was actually over 90% who had either had anal sex or refused anal sex, so this is something that kids are being exposed to all the time. We asked them to participate in an interview. 12 young women participated in the interview, 10 of whom had had anal intercourse and 2 had refused. We used a grounded theory approach to identify themes in the data, which were applied across all the interviews using systematic thematic analysis. And the results challenge what are considered typical beliefs about heterosexual anal intercourse. For example, well, girls only have anal intercourse to prevent loss of virginity, or women engage in anal intercourse only to prevent pregnancy, and that is not what we found. Now, we had done a previous study of 400 young women who were sexually active, and most of them, almost all of them, were using hormonal contraception, and over a third reported anal intercourse, which is, that study was what piqued my interest in anal intercourse. So we found themes, pain and pleasure. Half of the young women reported that it was painful. I've only had it a handful of times, and these handful of times I could never really finish. I would have to be like, take it out because it just hurts. Some girls reported a good kind of pain. It feels good, but it's a little painful at the same time, but it's kind of like a good pain, and we heard that over and over. Now, in terms of their assessment of anal intercourse, everybody said it was dirty. Even the girls who'd done it, it's just nasty to me. We also found a coercion, a theme of coercion. Several dimensions of coercion, ranging from needing to be intoxicated. To be honest, that's something that you would do when you're under the influence, because the liquor kind of makes you numb down there. You'll feel good, and you won't feel the pain. Other girls, it was an acquiescing kind of coercion. He used to ask me, how come you don't want to try it? And this one time, I was like, okay, I'll see if it works. We also heard stories of anal rape, although the girls really didn't want to narrate those stories. But we also, surprising to us, found female assertiveness. One young woman initiated anal intercourse. There was one time that I planned right before, like I had brought the lubricant and everything, and I had chosen the guy for it because he wasn't that big. He was trying to sleep, and I was like, oh no, it's not over yet. Other reasons, including allowing intimacy during menses, curiosity, in some cases, in quite a few cases, fed by the internet, both the boy and the girl had their curiosity piqued by things they'd seen online, and lack of inhibition, as we said, due to alcohol or drugs. But there was really very little narration of HAI and HIV risk, even though on the quantitative they said, yeah, it's a risk factor. It was actually mentioned only by one young woman, although several of them, 4 of them, used a condom. But it gets worse, and I think this is really a key point. Failure to use condoms for anal sex was taken as a signal that they'd no longer use condoms for vaginal sex either. After the anal, we didn't use protection after that. Perhaps this explains why condom use for vaginal intercourse is lower among those who've had AI than for those who have not. One of the guys said to a girl, reported that her boyfriend said, look, you know, whatever I got, you got it now, so we don't need to use condoms anymore, without understanding that one exposure does not create, you either have it or you don't. It's largely unspoken. The girls don't talk to each other about it. They talked a lot about how they spoke to friends about vaginal intercourse, but only giggled and stammered when asked if they talked to their friends about anal intercourse. And these were girls who've had anal intercourse. However, there were a couple of young couples that did discuss it prior to engaging in it, so that was encouraging. Now, the implications for practice are really important. Young people are engaging in heterosexual anal intercourse, and we need to be discussing it with them, because I assure you, nobody else is. they are less likely to use condoms for anal intercourse than for vaginal intercourse. And that may be partially because there's no worry about pregnancy at all with anal intercourse. It may be that those with higher levels of relationship control are not having anal intercourse just because they don't want to. We saw that and we said, initially we thought, well, see, these high relationship control girls are saying, I'm not going to expose myself to anal sex and that risk, so we're not having anal sex. But as I look at these qualitative data, I'm thinking they're probably not having anal sex because they don't want to have anal sex. And it may not be, they may not even be thinking risk reduction when they're saying no to anal sex. We have no evidence that they are thinking about risk reduction. Possibly, if young women were aware of the risk associated with anal intercourse, those with higher levels of decision-making dominance, i.e. those who can make decisions about condom use, would ask their partners to use condoms for anal intercourse just as they do, apparently, for vaginal intercourse, because condom use is so much better for vaginal than for anal intercourse. Therefore, we must acknowledge it when we're speaking with young people. I would love to see advertisements about it, but I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon. But we need to, at least with the young people we're working with, acknowledge it as a form of sexual expression that is not uncommon. They will not bring it up. We need to bring it up with them. And that helps to normalize it for those who engage in it, and allowing them to discuss it without embarrassment and allowing us to talk about risk reduction, because they are not hearing anything about anal sex and risk reduction. We need to educate them about the risk inherent in anal intercourse, that this is a high-risk behavior. And we need to emphasize the need for condoms during anal intercourse, even with a partner they know well or with whom they've had other forms of sex without a condom. And that's really key. And that's, I think, a key finding from this study was, well, we had oral, we had vaginal, but we have already had anal sex without a condom, so really we don't need to use a condom anymore. And condoms for all forms of intercourse. Thank you.